Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 309. Back to a better number of podcasters.
A better number.
Just not that I didn't appreciate the guys coming last week, but I think four is a solid number.
It was just you two?
Yep. Yep, yeah. It was just
man,
the three
that was
of
a
us.
Micro slight. And you guys are sitting right here.
No, but I just think four gives us, it's a little more well-rounded. That's all.
What he's trying to say is you're the all-star that we need.
No. But just, I think four is just.
I'm not here next week either.
Better just not have one.
Minnesota?
No, Debbie and I have something we have to go to.
No, he's
out. Okay.
Date night.
I was going to say, if you're going to Minnesota, tell those Vikings fans, I said, ha-ha.
Skull.
False.
They will be laughing as they collect a shit ton of money for Airbnb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it would have been cool to be in the only team ever to be in the home stadium. Yeah. But although to be fair, they shouldn't have beaten New Orleans.
So. No,
they had no business being there.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Oh, you will. Yes, I have zero rooting interest in the game this year.
Go Eagles.
Yes, but it's hard to.
It's not hard to hate the Patriots at all.
Right. No. It's easy to hate the Patriots, but it's not. You know,
it's one of the easiest things I've ever done.
Right. No. You're more rooting against a team than rooting for a team.
Sometimes that's all you need.
I'll be honest. I think I more passionately root against the Patriots than I root for the Steelers.
Wow. And I look at it this way. At least it's another PA team, you know. So that's kind of.
Belichick cut you at some point, or.
Only emotionally.
I'm more of a hockey person than football. Mm. Like the day the Steelers lost, Adele and I were going to the hockey game that night. It was her first hockey game. So I was like,
okay.
I don't care. Penguins won.
How's she like it?
Steelers didn't deserve to go anyways. She loved it. Pens won 5-2 against the Rangers. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, during the Steeler game, the Blackhawks were also on, and they got shellacked. And it was just like, okay. So after the first quarter of the Steeler game, I put on X-Files. I'm like, I'll come back in an hour and see if this has gotten any better. It hadn't.
And not.
But I enjoyed the X-Files episode, so that worked out well.
There you go.
So, getting to comic stuff. I'm Colin. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast. I'm Colin McMahon, owner
That's
of Pittsburgh
not comic
Comics.
Stuff.
Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Pat.
Spencer.
Woo!
Rick Flair?
Hey, cover your chests.
Oh, you don't want me slapping
you.
Okay. I'm like, what? Put your shirt back on.
I thought it was a reference to what we were talking about before the podcast.
I did, yeah, I did too. One, two, three?
Yeah, it was. Well, what was that movie? Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Total Recall.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm sorry. I blanked.
We were talking about that earlier.
I know we were. I am compromised. I don't remember what's going on. Okay. So, Pat, do you have any news?
I don't.
Okay, I do.
I know.
So, the official announcement.
I think he does it just to shame you now.
No, I just wonder. I didn't want to skip him and go, oh, I actually.
I have a real job
done
now, so sorry.
So, we got the solicits for the Action Comics 1000. The hardcover is still coming in. They actually did print what's going to be in that, and it's a ton of stuff. But
that's the $30 hardcover.
Right, that's the $30 hardcover. But they also finally announced.
Without the poster?
Right. They announced what's going to be in the regular comic and what all's going on with that, and it's pretty cool. It's going to be a $7.99, no ad, like 80-page giant, which is going to have a cover by Jim Lee, and then it's going to have 9 more covers. So altogether, there's 10 covers. And it's going to have different artists doing it from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, all the way up. And it's pretty, the creators involved are pretty cool. I know, like, Allred's doing the 60s, Steranko's doing the 70s.
And they're going to do it in that style of
cover. Right, exactly. So it's pretty cool. The artists they have for them are pretty good. Really neat. And then there's going to be a blank cover. But it also is going to feature Bendis's first... I guess not his first DC work because he did one story a while back, but he's going to have a story in that. But then it's going to be a lot of really cool stuff. There's going to be a Kurt Swan unpublished story is going to be in there. There's going to be something by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, who I adore. Just really cool. So I'm going to probably end up doing some sort of package deal if you wanted to get like all 10 covers. I just got to look at it, but it's in the previews next week, so I'll have some time to come up with a plan, because I know some people are going to want all the covers, and I'll come up with some sort of package deal on that. The other big news coming out of Action is, Josh, you are going to be so excited about this, but they're bringing back the red trunks.
God damn it. I'm so annoyed by this rekindled feud that has popped up online again with the trunkers versus the non-trunkers, myself being a non-trunker.
Trunkless.
Trunkless, yeah. We'll call us the commandos. I recognize that is an iconic look, and that is part of his history, and I celebrate that history, but it is a dated look, and no trunks. Hashtag no trunks. And sorry, Matthew Todd, I see you on Facebook posting all this stuff about pro trunks, but no trunks for me.
And it'd be like one thing if it was costume.
Are you a never trunk?
Bad,
never
like...
trunker.
Pro trunks versus no trunks.
Pro trunks versus no trunks.
That is a title.
Nice.
But you know what I never...
Way to get, way to get rid of it early.
But you know what I never understood? Like, they always gave Batman grief about the trunks, but like... Or Superman, but Batman always wore trunks, too.
You know what?
Beginning.
And I saw somebody talking to... I forget if it was Capullo or Snyder online, saying the one thing they liked about the Batman is it broke up the color scheme. Like,
because
it could
be gray and then black and then gray.
Right, yeah. And it broke up just either the solid black or the solid gray, because he can't have really any color.
That's what a belt's for.
Right, but it's still... Even the belt didn't do a ton, but so I get that
nice,
one.
Nice yellow belt.
Right.
Breaks it up.
Yeah, but now it's a black belt with yellow outline, so. But I get it. But, okay, so then a couple
of
things.
What's your feeling on it, Spencer?
Pro
trunks or no trunks?
No trunks. I mean, but I'm not a huge Superman guy, so I don't, like, if you change it, it's not, like, when they changed them from no trunks, I wasn't like, what? Like, I was just like, okay, now he doesn't look ridiculous.
Yeah, like, I will continue reading it. Yeah. It's not going to stop me from enjoying the book. But if we're talking about the trunks, I think the trunks are dumb.
The trunks totally took
now,
me
I wonder
out of
if
the
they're just going to bring...
But there are people that like that. No. When you read these comments online, Pat, there are people like, I haven't read Superman since New 52 started because they got rid of the trunks. Go F yourself. Yeah. If that's the biggest thing that you have to... Sorry. Sorry, Colin.
But that's what took you out of
just
it.
Just extreme,
was
man.
But if the trunks are the thing that caused you to stop reading the book, you didn't like the character that much to begin with. If you were more concerned about the character staying true to his original design, then you have no interest in the character moving forward or telling new stories. You're more concerned with just the character being true to its initial book that came out.
No, I wonder if there's,
you don't
like,
see it grow or evolve at all.
If this is going to be, like after this, like, in the issues to follow, if he's still going to have, like, the trunks, or if they're just like, we're bringing it back for the 1,000th issue, and then, like, okay, he doesn't have them anymore. Like,
oh, can you imagine the storm of crap that would happen if they did that? Because they've built it as, this is his new uniform.
Oh, okay.
So
oh, okay.
If they did that...
I haven't looked that much.
If they did it for one issue after building that one, then suddenly, like... But that was just for 1,000. The trunks are gone again. I think people would lose their minds.
Well, I think if, you know, maybe Lois...
I'd think it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Though.
You know, maybe if Lois says, that looks ridiculous. Take those off.
If they did that, man.
She just throws them away when she's doing laundry.
What happened to my red trunks? That looks stupid.
And
I threw them out.
Like, look at the comics.
There were holes in them. I threw it
in the comments. People get really butthurt whenever you call them, like, underoos or underwear. Oh, man. It's insane.
Hey, I had some red Superman underoos when I was a kid. There's nothing wrong with that.
When you were a kid. Wink.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm younger than some people anyway, so.
Okay. Other thing? No, all of a sudden just stop. Marvel signed Kelly Thompson to an exclusive deal. Now, she's been doing Hawkeye and some other things.
Which Tim has said has been fantastic.
Yep, but it just got canceled. But yes.
So Debbie Downer there.
No, I'm just saying it was.
Be upbeat.
It was.
It's been great, but it doesn't come out anymore.
And then Dan Slott has announced he is going to be wrapping up his Spider-Man run and taking over Iron Man. So, and it's going to be the Tony Stark Iron Man. So apparently Tony will be coming back at some point before Dan Slott takes him over.
Maybe he'll even be Tony Stark again. He's not Tony Stark.
Yeah.
No, he isn't. He's adopted.
Oh, whatever.
I got fucked.
I'm going to say, you've been stickling on
that
for
like,
a while.
Yeah, I'm like, you had me confused. I'm like, did I say the wrong thing? What?
Because to me, that is a fundamental change in a character.
That's Pat's trunks.
Have they said anything about who's taken over for him after he
Spider-Man, left? Nothing I've heard of officially, but we may find out.
I mean,
yeah,
that would make sense.
Yeah. Jinx. And then Wolverine is, they're starting, we're getting the Hunt for Wolverine book, which is going to be a one-shot by Charles Soule. And then it is splitting into four other stories are going to be spinning out of this. There's going to be an action-adventure storyline. So I don't know if these are different books or if these are going to be stories in one book or what's going on exactly. But there's going to be an adamantium agenda, which is a superhero action-adventure. Claws of Madripoor, or Claws of the Killer, is going to be a horror book. Mystery in Madripoor is a dark romance. And Weapon Lost is a detective story. So they're all going to have their own creative teams, and we'll find out what's going on with these. What? Yeah, that was at the bottom of the case. And then the last piece of news I have is Doomsday Clock just announced that it's going to be a little bit delayed. It had planned after issue 4 to have a month delay, and then like after issue 8 or something they were going to have a month,
a skip month in between quarter.
But what they've announced now is that after 4 they're going to be taking a 2-month break, and then after that is going to be bi-monthly. So it looks like this won't be wrapping up where I thought it was going to be in November or December, somewhere around that. It's not going to be wrapping up until July, I believe. So how that affects things, I don't know.
Well, how that affects things is that means there'll be a nice hardcover out for next Christmas.
Right. Yeah. But so I don't see it having a huge effect on sales, because I think if you're in this far, you're going to stick around. It's not completely affecting the other lines.
It's supposed to
at the end to tie in and affect the other books, but...
Well, that might be why they're pushing everything, is they won't tell all their stories before.
It could be, or it could be just a case of the artist just being a little slower than they expected.
It's been so far a beautifully drawn book.
Yeah,
so.
And this issue was really cool. So I don't have a problem with it. I know other people will, and maybe, you know, if it was Marvel, I'd be yelling at them. So, but I'm okay, because it's really quite a standalone story.
Well, and, okay, and Dr. Manhattan, Trunks or no Trunks?
Trunks, please.
And unlike Marvel, at least they let you know ahead of time that they were going to be. Like,
right.
Marvel was just like, oh, it should have been out a couple weeks ago. It'll be out soon.
When it's out.
Yeah.
When it gets there.
At least they let you know so you can let your customers know that's going to take a while.
So, keeping you up to date. So that's all I have for news. Doing my best to get on this. Our newsman still isn't here. That guy.
He's too busy, like, covering the Pope and whatnot.
Fair enough. Store-wise, not a ton of stuff going on. I'm working my butt off pricing back issues and trying to get everything of that up to speed. Keep an eye on social media, on Instagram and Twitter, which are PGH Comics, and Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics. So I'm going to be doing a lot of little promos, just random things I'm going to be kind of throwing out there just to keep you on your toes, see if anybody's paying attention, and just to kind of make things a little more fun. One request I'm going to make, this is a little social media experiment for me, kind of saying this to you guys, the diehards, the close listeners, the people who are kind of paying attention to what's going on. If you can like and share my tweets and Facebook posts, I'm not sure if it works on Instagram the same way, but I know like on Facebook that they've changed the algorithms and fewer people are going to see my posts. They're going to focus more on friends and family and keep the business ones kind of down, probably unless we pay for them. But if you guys like and share my posts, then more people will see them. People in your feed will see them, and they might open up the algorithm a little bit to share to more people, because they want posts that are getting a lot of activity on them, they'll make available to more people. So if you can, just, you know, if you see a post, go ahead and like it or share it or comment on it, because I think that also will affect the algorithm. So just trying to play with that. So keep an eye on that stuff. I'd appreciate it very, very much. But I'm just kind of playing with social media, seeing if I can do some more marketing on that, because it's my favorite thing because it's free. And I found paid advertising really doesn't do a ton. And I really can't, you know, it doesn't make sense to, you know, my new this week and pay $20 to boost that. Doesn't make a whole ton of sense. So that would be awesome. I'd really appreciate that. So I think that's about it I got for what's going on here at the store. It looks like we might have a signing next Wednesday. I got to confirm it, but there's a new one from this company called Sit Comics. And there's a book that Ron Friends, a local artist, you know, famous artist from doing Spider-Man and stuff, called The Blue Baron, is doing for them. And I'm going to try to get Ron in on Friday the 31st when the book comes out. I just ordered them from the publisher, and he's going to ship them out to me tomorrow. So I just need to confirm with him. I will promote that a little bit more. It kind of got away from me. But we will jump on top of that and get that promoted. So hopefully we can get a bunch of people down here next Wednesday. I'm going to try to have them come in at the evening, like from 4 o'clock to a certain time, because that seems to be our busiest time on Wednesday. So we got that going on. So, beside that, that is all I have. Anybody else have any news or anything you want to talk about comic-related? No?
No.
No, yeah. I think so.
So, Pat?
Yes?
What'd you read?
I read books.
Okay. Josh, what'd you read?
I read books, too.
Cool.
Spencer?
A couple books.
Okay. Well, we read books.
I read the milk curtains. Yeah. I read the back of a cereal box.
Did you? Okay.
As long as you don't end up on a milk carton, I think you're okay.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I read Days of Hate.
Yes, I read that too.
Days of Hate. I saw Days of Thunder.
That was the
same thing.
That was an interesting book. I didn't know what to make of it. It didn't even follow the solicit as much as I thought.
Well, I could see where there was a lot of world building in that. At some point between 2018 and 2022, there was a civil war. There's a lot of extremism going on, and a particular character whose ex-wife is in with the extremist, and it almost, I may be mistaken, but it almost seemed like she was a cop.
I agree. From the very first scene, yes.
Yeah. And her ex-wife, obviously a lesbian couple, but her ex-wife wants to get revenge because... Right.
Well, I don't even know if she didn't go out seeking revenge, but it kind of... So what happens is they're showing these extreme things. Somebody blew up this... There was a party going on, and somebody set fire to them and killed a lot of people by blocking the entrance and stuff. And all of a sudden, this one government-type person, they go and they arrest this one woman, and they bring her in for questioning. And it turns out it's the ex-wife of this radical, and she kind of gives her story. And he's, like, you know, very much... He's government, and basically, you know... I can do anything I want. You're not getting out. Just very extreme.
Yeah, it seems very much in this world that things like due process and habeas corpus have all been suspended.
Right.
And it's,
right.
You know, very, very dystopian, you know, sci-fi type future.
Yeah. So he starts questioning her, and she's like, you know, what makes you... Why would I want to give her up and anything? And then it finally turns out they start talking and young in love. She gets pregnant. Then the Civil War happened and the other woman's family turns on her because she's a lesbian and she loses her job and she starts getting very angry. And one day while comforting her while pregnant, she snapped and pushed her, and they lost the baby, and soon thereafter got divorced. And the one girl basically said
that
ruined her life, and she'll be happy to do anything to bring her ex down. I don't think she was going into this to bring her down, but she's now going to use this as an opportunity to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it almost felt like she put herself out there to be picked up. You know, to kind of legally take down her.
Right, but she didn't seek them out. They had, arrested her to question her.
Yeah.
And it just kind of led us. But, yeah, it's just kind of interesting because it definitely, you can see where current society could end up heading this way. It's all, you know, a cautionary tale. But, yeah. And it was interesting because it has an artist who I'm not the biggest fan of. It's Daniel, Zizel.
Yes.
Who's Korean, or Croatian, I believe. Or, you know, somewhere.
Mm-hmm. In that.
Yeah. And I remember he did a book called Loveless, which was Brian Azzarello, a Vertigo book, a Western. And I stopped reading it because he basically looks like he draws with a Sharpie. It's very, very bold, heavily inked lines. And after a while, I started not being able to tell who was who. And because it was Western, it was just lots of people. Mm-hmm. Not so much identifiable, kind of costumes, things like that. And so you could get clues. And I got very confused. So I was not thrilled when I saw he was doing this book. But I had no problem with the art. Everything, it was fine. But he still uses that very, very heavy, thick line drawing style.
Well, at least the eyes were all lined up.
The eyes were all lined up, as opposed to, I believe it was in the newest issue of Phoenix. Last week's Phoenix had an eye issue, which just drives me nuts.
Do you ever think maybe some of these characters just have a lazy eye?
Could be. Could be.
Well, it's also a still medium. Maybe she was starting to look, and one eye's faster than the other.
Could be. Yeah. Could be. Maybe they should slow down their drawing then.
Could be.
Better depending on the person. If they had a superpower, maybe they just had, like, lizard's eyes where they can just look in multiple directions.
Yeah, see, just...
Yeah.
They're going in two different directions. You know, you can't... That one's looking right at me. That one's looking ahead. That one's definitely looking that way.
Especially when it's a close-up like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understand. Next one was Batman.
I read that.
Yep, I read Batman.
I thought this was really interesting.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Now, I don't know who that character... Was that character, like, from that one JLA... There was a JLA book. Oh, I don't know. It was like a, you know, like, one of the... I don't even know if it was Elseworlds, but a one-shot. I don't know if he was from that or not. I forget the name of the book. Darn it. But, yeah. So a guy is always fighting in this other dimension. Yeah. I'll go pull it off the wall in a minute. But basically he has to fight a constant battle to keep the demons out.
Yeah, so there's a secret realm that can only be accessed from Earth.
And they offered at one point to take his burden
for a day,
and he called in that favor. But it was interesting because it turns out he's only been doing this for like a week or a month.
It was a year.
Oh, it was a year in our time, but in his time he'd been doing it for forever.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
So at the point, like by the end of the issue, from their perspective, Bruce and Diana have been there for 10 years.
10 years.
Right.
You know, and so back on our Earth, Selina is taking this guy around, so, you know, you can kind of see the town, whatever. Because you can only open the gate on our side. Mm-hmm. And initially, you know, Batman and Wonder Woman think, you know, the guy bailed or he decided, you know.
Yeah, they don't realize there's a difference in time.
Yeah. Which I think that would be a key piece of information to say, hey, you know, while you're doing this.
But let me ask this though. They were there at one point in time before. It said that, and that's how they offered the guy.
Like, but, like, with the whole Justice League, that was the impression I got.
But still, like, you think whenever they came back, they'd realize the time did not...
Yeah, it didn't really go.
...lapse the same...
Or maybe they have, like, an idea that it's not the same, but just being there for what they think is so long, it's just, you know, they didn't think it was going to be...
Maybe they were only
there
for 20 minutes, and, you know, to them, it felt like 2 weeks, but, you know,
Yeah, maybe.
But you get a cool scene, Batman shaving with an axe.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were having a good time. I'm going to go look for that one.
So, Wonder Woman and Batman are, you know, they're the only two humans, I would assume, in this realm, because it's mostly demons. And,
yeah.
You know, Wonder Woman is not an unattractive woman, and with lack of other options, things happen.
Or about to happen.
Yeah. Which, you know, I'm sure will have some repercussions when they get back. But, to be fair, it was 10 years.
10 years with Wonder Woman, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Batman is, you know...
Good job on hanging out that long.
Yeah, I don't know I could do that.
She may have turned him down.
It didn't seem like it.
I mean, over the course of 10 years.
They just didn't show the plots for Batman. Was just like, come on!
Just a little.
Yeah.
No,
it was good. The art was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Jones.
Yeah. I like how Tom King is doing these little interludes in between.
I love these. Like, I find these things more interesting than the big arcs.
Yeah.
Not saying I don't like the big arcs. They're fine, but I like these just, you know, a few issue arc, like, you know, refreshers just to.
I wonder how what's like, because you know this is being part of, like, the Super Friends. Like, I wonder, like, is he gonna go through like all of the Justice League like members, have like a little, like, you know, one and two part, like, you know, next will be with like Flash, or, you know, you just keeping it with like the big three of them.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
It's the bachelor party, and Flash and Hal Jordan shows up.
Right.
But no, I enjoyed that book quite a bit.
And then it ended with them almost kissing.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Kissing Kelly McGillis. Sorry.
Huh?
It's from Bobcat Goldthwait comedy special from a long time ago. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
No,
but I watched a lot. It was like one of those HBO specials back when I first got cable in college type of thing.
Okay.
Just watched it a lot.
Gotcha.
It's weird seeing him now because he still he still does the like stand up now, but he doesn't, you know, he doesn't do the voice or anything anymore. So just normal.
Well, ish.
Yeah, well.
Super Sons.
I read Super Sons.
So this was the finale.
Yeah.
Of the Super Sons of Tomorrow.
It was very much like the denouement of the thing. Like, it climaxed at the end of last episode, which I guess I didn't totally realize.
Well,
they were calling this an epilogue.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was. Mm-hmm. But after reading that last one, it's like, I just didn't take that as the end of the story.
Yeah.
But I you know, Tim, he's often, I guess, the infinity of time or whatever.
Right. Andy's kind of superpowered now because he absorbed the solar flare.
But that was kind
of... Yeah, that was convenient. Like, I still question how that all worked out. But
yeah, I would think that would, like, destroyed him, but whatever. But, you know, there were scenes of Flashpoint and Metal and Doomsday Clock, Crisis.
Whole, like, whole bunch,
you know,
of stuff.
Everything was kind of going on in the background with him there. And back in, you know, kind of normal DC time, John gets put up for membership in the Teen Titans, initially as a part-time member until he becomes a teen. You know, Damian stands up for him, and he gets turned down by the rest of the Titans, because through this exercise, they realize that they got some stuff they got to work out on their own.
Because, like, I read this whole series, like, last week.
Okay.
Because, like, the only title that I got out of the thing was Teen Titans.
Okay.
And then Colin was finally able to get all, like, all the issues back in or anything, so I picked them all up. So I was able to kind of just sit down and read them kind of all the way through. Though I don't know why Beast Boy and Raven would be so, like... Well, let's just go with... Like, I understand they have a relationship with... the Tim from there, but, like, it's a different Tim, like, and just to be like, you know what, we're just gonna go with this guy who we don't even know, like, it just seems like they just made him do that just so they could split, like, you know, split the sides up.
Well, yeah, to some extent I think that's exactly what it was, but, I liked how...
Okay, I guess Tim's telling me he did a little research, he was new character in Batman, sorry.
Was he? Oh, okay. After the vote, you know, they get pulled aside and, you know, kind of, we have to keep them separated and, you know, Damian kind of, again, stands up, I'm going to protect him and he's going to protect me because we're friends. And
which is nice, like, a little bit of character growth for
Damian.
Yeah.
Damian more than John. You know, John's had some character growth, but, Damien's a dick.
Yeah.
And, you know, here he kind of takes on more the big brother role, you know, more than anything else. And I thought that was pretty cool. We'll see where that goes. Superman.
I read that. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
Nice Chris Burnham cover.
Yep. Nice little one-shot.
Yeah. It centered around a bunch of kids in the hospital. I'm assuming it was strictly
Tim.
Tim.
Just a cancer ward, but it was, you know, a children's hospital in effect. And Superman decides he's going to take the kids, and him and Hal Jordan show up in a space shuttle construct and fly him up to the Watchtower, where they get to hang out with the Justice League. And, you know, they do a scavenger hunt where the final thing was a picture of Batman smiling. Mm. The kid tells Batman a joke, and he laughs.
And he won the contest. I forget what the contest was, but yeah.
There was a the scavenger contest to get to go to the moon.
Well, that's right. And then everybody got to go anyway.
Because the kid asked, like, can my friends come too?
And Superman said, no.
No, I'm sorry. He
no, he kid, they didn't win. And then he was, what, can we stay a little longer?
Your friends are losers.
Yeah, but it
we
was
don't do participation cool. trophies in the Justice League.
Just ask Shazam, or Martian Manhunter.
Just me, you, and my trunks.
I need an adult. no, but I thought that it was really cool.
No, it was a nice feel-good one-shot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that bugged me is I wish these books would get consistent with, like, across the board with how they handle things. Like, why was it Hal Jordan that was there? Hal Jordan's off doing his own thing. It should have been, like, Simon or Jessica there with the jet.
They're kind of... They're new. They're new. Green Lantern.
He has not been involved with anyone on Earth in quite a while.
Yeah, but everybody knows who he is.
Yeah.
He, you know, Justice League classic.
I don't argue that he is.
Or it's the whole edict. Just tell the story you want to tell, and don't worry about continuity. So that's what they did. But you know, it was enjoyable.
I'm sure he's just a hop, skip, and a jump away. I mean,
yeah,
he seemed pretty busy in his book.
He has some downtime in between panels.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Marvel has whole events going on in between their panels, so why not?
Hate, jeez, it's 2018. I'm trying to be haters.
Coming from the guy who hates the trunks.
I know, red trunks.
Fine, Spencer. That's right. I do hate. I don't even want to say I hate the trunks. I just feel like they're dated.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they look right now. Like, could you imagine a current Superman movie with him wearing the trunks? It wouldn't look right.
Yeah, it would look weird.
Yeah, but the last time they tried to do right now with Superman, that was the 90s, and we got some really weird shit.
Try to do right now with Superman?
Yeah. What do you mean? Like, after he died and they came up with all the different versions of Superman,
oh.
You know, to make him hip and new, that didn't turn out so well.
Yeah, I'm not talking about going that far.
I don't want him, to the other side of the spectrum, I don't want just, hipster Superman.
No, I don't want that either. I'm just talking about, like, making it modern, like, freshening up his look.
No, I'm with you.
Could you picture Henry Cavill in the movies wearing the trunk?
I don't want to picture Henry Cavill in his underwear now.
Come on, everyone does. He's a very attractive man.
The question is just if he has the mustache or not.
Oh, that part. Ugh.
Okay. I don't understand that at all. Why edit it out?
Oh, we're just talking about the mustache. Just, I was like, what about the trunks? Does he understand?
Yeah, okay. Just give him the damn beard. You know, give him.
Or don't put that cell phone footage in there that showed the close up of it. Maybe that wasn't important.
Yeah, really.
Well, but I mean, you know, right? Leave that part out. Or
it would have looked. It would have.
Because you
know, it would have looked better if they had him eating a hot dog to hide the jacked up CGI in this.
It'd have been an offense.
Here's the thing, so what I like about Earth is...
If they had done like a Wilson, Home Improvement.
Yeah. What's going on there, Simpson? No. Give him the beard. Don't edit it out. It looks horrible. But whatever. And then finally, Justice League.
I read Justice League.
So...
I didn't make it to Justice League.
This was part three, or part four, the People versus Justice League. And this focused on the fan, who somehow managed to... At first we thought he had captured Simon Baz and taken his ring. But then we found out Simon had the ring all the time, so I'm not exactly sure how he was able to trick him into thinking he didn't have the ring.
Some sort of like mind manipulation.
Yeah, because he had like a chip on his neck or something.
Oh, that's right.
That,
yeah,
like
okay.
messed with his concentration or something like that.
Pat's going crazy.
Pulling a china shop over here. Pat's dealer was calling. He had to take the call.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so this dude is a huge, you know, fanboy of the Justice League. He worked for LexCorp, right?
Yeah.
At one point in time. So that's he was the guy that got that information.
Yeah, because he helped with stuff with the watchtower.
Mm-hmm.
Something with helping putting
yeah.
things in the watchtower.
So he knows the identities of all the Justice League members, and he is the one that has been posing as the jail members to take out these different threats, people that he perceives as threats to them. And he's very much a fan of the classic jail members. He's not so much of a fan of the newer
the Bazes and Coozes of it all.
Yeah. And the what's interesting is they don't know how to handle him now because they can't just put him in jail because he knows all of their identities.
Yeah. He can just spill.
Yeah.
Especially with all the trouble that they've been in recently, that wouldn't be good for them.
This is where they need the Flash shows, illegal black ops inside the Collider prison system there.
Yeah, right, just throw them in there and forget about them.
It was good. I've been enjoying the Priest Justice League book. Me or you?
Huh? You can go ahead. All right.
Well, we both read Nightwing.
Yep.
I like this. This gave some backstory as to who the judge was, and also introduces to a former costume vigilante in Bloodhaven.
Yeah.
That
short lived.
Yeah.
But
that had some history with Dick Grayson. But I've been liking this since. Sam Humphries has jumped on Nightwing. I think it was a good transition.
I did not like that flashback art, though. It is a lot of, like... It's pretty rough.
Some of it was okay, and some of it was really bad. Like, the stuff with the girl, I thought was fine, but things with Dick Grayson...
Yeah.
He looked all jacked up. Him and Batman didn't look right either.
No.
But yeah, just showing how his mistakes whenever he was younger, and him being kind of foolhardy... led to the judge escaping.
And doing what he's doing now.
Yeah.
And how much that is messing with him.
Mm-hmm. But no, overall, it was a good issue. The story's been interesting. Damage, number one.
I read that.
You read that? So this is...
No, be sure, I read it a long time ago in PDF form.
This is the first of the New Age of Superheroes books that DC is putting out. So this is...
The fancy cover.
Yeah, so this is Tony S. Daniel and Robert Venditti on the book. And essentially it's their version of, like, a Hulk book. He's very much a Hulk-like character. It's this soldier who they have weaponized in a way that he, can unleash this alternate persona of this, monster called Damage. The unique thing here is it looks like he and Damage... almost converse with each other, or they're it's almost like two different personalities.
Yeah, cause I'm flipping through it. It looked like it was almost like they was having a conversation with them.
Yeah,
from like the looking of the word balloons and stuff.
Yeah, because where it's like with Banner and Hulk, like he's almost trapped in there.
Yeah.
He gets shut down and Hulk takes over and vice versa. Whereas this, it looks like he's still there, but in the background, and then Damage is still there, but in the background, but able to still influence and talk to the primary. Personality. And then the one catch with him is that he can only be in that form for 1 hour. After an hour, he reverts back to his normal human form. And he is kind of like on the run. When this picks up, he managed to escape, and now they're trying to contain him and get him back. And we have Amanda Waller step in because the military couldn't handle their monster, and she knows how to handle monsters.
How'd you like the crazy fold-out?
It was neat.
Cover.
I mean, I still think it was just a gimmick. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't impact me, you know, buying the book at all or impact my enjoyment of the book. But I thought it was neat.
Did it get in the way, like, whenever you opened it up, did it just want to, like, fold open, or did you not have to...
No, because the way that it was folded, the top portion was folded over top of the bottom, so it didn't, like, immediately open up as soon as I opened the book up, which was nice.
Cool.
It wasn't cumbersome to read the book at all.
Nice.
It was impressive. Like, I was impressed how they were able to do that. That's, you know... It was a neat gimmick. Green Lanterns.
Yeah, right there.
So this was the end of the most recent arc, where they're off on this other planet and dealing with like the, you know, nationalist group there and the alien refugees. It was good. I thought this was a nice way to wrap it up. Did she get away in this book?
No, she Baz was taking like his light back from her, and it was slowly killing her.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah, they stopped him.
But
yeah.
Then she was still alive.
That's right.
I think they probably just ended up putting her.
Yeah.
In, like,
so
a prison.
The regent asked him to stop, because she was dying. But yeah, so like she had all these crazy powers because she absorbed like traits from all these different aliens throughout the galaxy. But they finally were able to stop her by, you know, like you said, Baz taking his light back from whenever he kind of saved her life, brought her back to life.
We just keep on learning new things he can do, huh?
Yeah, yeah, he's impressive so far. And then it's showing how the rest of the people on the planet didn't give in to those, you know, base fears, and whenever she was trying to massacre essentially these refugees, that the you know, other people kind of stepped in to rescue them and help them. It was a good book. I think, again, just like Nightwing, this has been a pretty smooth transition with Sam Humphries and Tim Seeley swapping books. They've both done a good job of continuing the feel and tone of the previous creative team while telling their own stories. Trinity, number 17. Are you reading that at all?
No.
So this is the first issue with the new creative team, James Robinson and Patrick Zercher. It was good.
That sounds like a good team.
It was, they would work well together. I love Patrick Zercher's art. It's works really well in this book. Makes it look, you know, more epic.
Yeah.
And the book starts off with them, like the three members of the Trinity being interviewed almost about this, it seemed like this mission that went very wrong. And we find out they were trying to help Diana find Themyscira. And
she's always losing that place.
Yeah.
Oh.
And in the process they find this big, like, you know, whirlpool kind of thing in the ocean, and there's this ship that's about to be sucked in. So they're trying to get it out. There's a big storm going on, and they all end up being sucked into it. And it ends up taking them to Skartaris. Is that how you say it? Yeah.
I think so.
And as they're exploring that, they found out that, like, Superman doesn't have his powers anymore. Wonder Woman's blind. Batman is normal because Batman doesn't have any normal abilities or extra-normal abilities. And throughout the whole process, like, you know, Superman wants to help Wonder Woman by saying, like, here, you know, lean on me, I'll guide you. And she's quick to, you know, snap back, like, I don't need you to walk around. I've trained blindfolded. I could probably lead all of you, you know, better than you can right now with your vision. Superman impresses Batman with his fighting ability, even without his powers, with Batman saying that he would be Superman even without his super strength and Kryptonian abilities. And as they're going through, they pass up, you know, a old, overgrown, like, SR-71 Blackbird. And eventually, I think the last page, there's a reveal of Travis Morgan, the warlord, which is kind of neat. So it was a good issue. I was very much on the fence about this book for the past, like, arc or so. and it was one that I didn't want to drop, but I kept like feeling like I'm not enjoying this. I'm going to drop this book, and I'm glad I stuck it out for the start of this arc because this was a really nice intro to the arc. The book is ending at issue 22, though, so it looks like this arc is the final arc for the series.
So you're just going to stick with it then until the end?
Yeah, I'll stick with it because I enjoyed it anyways. And I'm fine with that ending because we have that Batman and Wonder Woman book that's going to be starting out from Liam Sharp, which I'll check out. But yeah, it was good. And is there any other ones that I wanted to mention? Oh yeah, Aquaman and Batwoman. So Aquaman, we finally have Arthur reunited with Mara. Mara is being held by King Shark's gang, but they are, you know, caring for her and keeping her alive because she can't breathe underwater. Aquaman managed to temporarily, you know, give her the ability to breathe again, but she's still not out of the woods. She has to, you know.
Why can't she breathe on the water?
When she, because right now Atlantis is covered by this magic called the Crown of Thorns.
Yeah.
And she had to use the medallion of one of the, I forget what the name of the actual group is, but one of the magic, you know, faction. They had these medallions they could pass through the Crown of Thorns. And she managed to, like, when her and Garth assaulted them, that she managed to steal one, but it got damaged. And when she passed through, she lost her ability to breathe underwater. So they're trying to find a way to save her. They think they have a way to save her, but it will require her to be up on the surface, you know, breathing fresh air while she's recovering. And then she should be fine at that point in time. But to do that, they have to get rid of the Crown of Thorns. So Arthur's trying to get help from King Shark and the other gangs in the depths to, you know, make their assault, and he can't get their help, so they're going to try and move forward the assault anyways. And the Widows are trying to push him to move on this quickly because they believe that Mira is the logical and best fit for the ruler of Atlantis. She has royal blood, you know, albeit it's Zabel, but it's still royal blood, and she wouldn't be torn between the surface world and Atlantis, and they think that she would be the one that could, you know, rule fairly and justly, but also put Atlantis, you know, first and not be torn between two different worlds. And I think towards the end of the book, it seems like, you know, Arthur is fighting it, so that he starts to agree with it as well by the end. And then Batwoman, number 11. This was a sufficiently creepy book. It was a Professor Pig book, and he captures Julia.
Which book?
Batwoman.
Batwoman. Okay.
Yeah. He captures, or his Dollatrons capture Julia Pennyworth because she had figured out who was kidnapping these people in this local town.
So has she been, like, working with Batwoman since?
Yeah, yeah. So she...
Well, that's nice they found something to do with that character.
It is, but the character is badass in her own right, and they've kind of just relegated her to being on this, you know, yacht floating headquarters. And I think that she could have kind of fended off these Dollatrons on her own, but still, like, they had her get captured, and Batwoman had to save her. Because, like, remember, Julia Pennyworth, when we first encountered her, she was very much still like special forces, yeah, and had her own, you know, her own abilities, not superhuman abilities, but still like fighting abilities. But so people are being kidnapped and having these, you know, skin grafts and masks grafted to their faces and working for Professor Pig. She finds out who is kidnapping these people, so Pig sends Dollatrons after her. And then Batwoman gets captured, but it looks almost like she lets herself get captured because then they take her to the headquarters, and then she managed to, you know, escape capture and deal with Pig. But it was good. It was creepy. It was, you know, I don't know if it was a one shot or if it's starting an arc, but it was a pretty good issue.
Is that just once a month?
Yes, that's once a month. And that is it for me. Spencer, Colin.
We'll go Spencer.
Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. This is the third issue of that series, so they're smack dab in the middle of it. And
has this been as good as the first?
Yeah, I've liked it. Like, yeah, if you liked the first one, I don't see why you wouldn't.
I didn't read it, but I heard a lot of people say the first arc was really good.
But You get a cool, there's a scene with, Damien and Raphael, sparring, and, you know, of course it quickly escalates into a full-blown fight between the two, and them throwing insults at each other and stuff like that until Batman finally has to come in and break it up. But the main plot line through this issue is that they finally found out where Bane is, where he got the Foot Clan held up, and he's low on their venom, so Batman's plan is we'll wait till tonight, where he's going to be in, like, his withdrawal symptoms, we'll go and attack then. So they all go there, but it was too late. Bachman was already able to make him a new batch of venom. And not only did Bane have the venom, but all the Foot Clan members had the venom. Bebop and Rocksteady had the venom. So there was just a huge, you know, just army of, like, roided out freaks just surrounding them. Bachman got some ooze dumped on him, so he turned into, like, the fly version from the cartoons. So I don't know how that's gonna, like, if they're switching back before this series is over. Because I don't know how, like, this continuity-wise, because in the regular Ninja Turtles series, he's still just a normal scientist.
Okay.
He made a whole bunch of, like, a fly army of mutants, but him himself isn't a fly mutant. But, you know, it ended on a pretty good cliffhanger, you know, with them being surrounded and how they going to get out. I'm sure they'll find a way, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of punching and kicking next issue. And then Venom Inc. Omega. It's the end of this particular crossover between Venom and the Amazing Spider-Man. It was an alright end to the series. Most of it, they spent time fighting this huge Venom monster that I always forget the guy name, but the mobster guy who was taking over all the Venoms, like that was in the beginning of this Venom series. But then, thanks to Flash Thompson, they were able to use the anti-venom to, you know, to take care of him, and by the end of the book, they did a good job of trying to make it seem like Venom is gonna be, like, the Lethal Protector, kind of good guy, but we'll probably still end up killing some people. But I like the way that they've been doing the art with him, because, like, during the 90s, I was never a big fan of, like, the big, huge jaw with the teeth and the tongue. Always kind of like the McFarlane version of him, where he's basically just a big guy.
Yeah.
And just kind of look like Spider-Man still. Like, I always like that version of him. Whenever they started incorporating that huge tongue with all the spit and stuff like that, that wasn't really my favorite. But, I don't know how, I think I probably would have liked the series more if I read the Venom going into this. I might have probably felt a little bit more connected to some of the storylines and stuff going on, but as somebody who was just reading it just for the part of these crossovers, it seemed like an alright crossover. Though I think this would have been a good time to let Flash Thompson know that Spider-Man and Peter Parker are the same person. I just think it's ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
they fought together now, and, like, he knows that Venom now, anti-agent Venom, is Flash. Like, I don't think he has to worry about Flash telling people and stuff like that. I mean, he told J. Jonah Jameson, for Christ's sake, so you might as well just tell Flash Thompson, too, I mean. But, that's it. That's all I was talking about.
When did he tell J. Jonah Jameson?
In an issue of Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man, like 2-3 issues ago, something like that. It was back whenever Adam was still here, so it was a while ago.
Oh
man.
Poor Adam. What, he
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't...
That's
he,
not what I mean. Just
Colin needs you to keep talking.
Yes.
But I don't know if he has something to talk about still.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to text Ron Friends about next week, and I want to do it.
Well,
I just realized.
Did anybody... I didn't think about it until we started talking later, but Did anybody else see that they're supposed to be doing like a Batman versus Deathstroke?
Yeah, it's going to be in the Deathstroke book.
Yeah, oh, is that what it is? Yeah, I didn't know if it was going to be like a mini series or a crossover.
No, it's in the April solicits. And I saw they posted on Bleeding Cool. So it's going to be in the main Deathstroke book. So they thought it might be a mini series, but not just be part of that.
That should be pretty good.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Pretty sure Christopher Priest is writing that.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought it was supposed to be a separate miniseries, but I did see while we were sitting here, I was flipping through Bleeding Cool and saw that it was, I guess, part of Deathstroke's main series now. It had a cool cover, though.
No, I didn't see any of that.
It kind of looked like a sepia tone at the top.
I did see that on there.
I thought that was pretty cool looking.
Okay. Sorry. I just wanted to make sure we were still having the signing next week, and so I figured instead of waiting until tomorrow, I might as well take care of it right now, because I have his cell phone number, so I could text him. Because I don't want to call him. That seems kind of rude, so I just want to get that done. Sorry about that. Just I was thinking, the guy hasn't shipped the books yet, so if it's not on, I can cancel the books. So, for me, let's see, a whole slew of Marvel. So I read Avengers 676, which is part two of the storyline. Going to go on a little rant here. Yesterday, Marvel announced that this week's book had sold out and next week's issue had sold out. And Jim Zub had tweeted about that, saying, how great is this, that these books are already selling out, the demand is so great. To which I went...
He's just a hype man. It's like...
I get
like
it. Well, he's one of the writers, so I get that.
It's like bitching about Flavor Flav going, yeah, boy, that's his job.
No, but what bothers me is it's not great, because issues parts 2, 3, and 4 were already sold out after they were solicited. And the problem is, so we're getting second prints, but I'm not getting second prints until the 21st of February is the first one. So I'm not going to have more in for almost a month. Well, are people going to wait, or are they going to give up by that? What if all of a sudden the story takes a downturn and the reviews are bad and people give up on it? It's like, in this business, you really have to strike while the iron's hot. And I think it was a big failure on Marvel's part to not have overprinted these first few issues in great numbers, so that if it was better than normal, that we would have been able to get more in. Now, I don't take the blame. I had been selling 11 copies of Avengers. I ordered 25. So I more than doubled my order.
Is that just from one title of Avengers?
Yeah, that's just on the main Avengers book. Because if you're getting the people that were getting the Uncanny Avengers were also getting Avengers. You know, right. I didn't need to add them all together. So it's just a little frustrating that I don't know how to order this. I'm losing out on sales. They're losing out on sales because I can't get the books. They're just flat out not available, and it's frustrating that. Even though I realized after the first week that I needed more of the subsequent issues and increased my order that first day, they're not coming because they didn't overprint enough to meet demand. It's just very frustrating. To me, it's just, I feel like they kindly totally missed the boat. So, issue-wise, got a little weird. And it's funny because I mentioned that to people last week and I had a couple people respond to me going, yeah, especially including Adam going, yeah, you're right, that was a weird issue. At the end of the first one, the world has been stolen. It's somewhere weird. About several Avengers are almost like statues now. They're like frozen in stasis, and they're trying to figure out what to do with them. And someone at the end of issue one has called Avengers Assemble, but nobody, and you didn't realize who. And then so... In issue two, it's revealed that it's Voyager, who is this old character that nobody remembers, but all of a sudden they start to remember when she shows up. And she had been present all along in Avengers, and people had just forgotten her. And so they're trying to figure out what's going on. They're also trying to figure
out... Adam's actually here right now. We just forgot him.
Oh, wow.
Wait! And they're trying to figure out what to do with these teammates that are all in suspended animation. And then all of a sudden it switches to there's this big fight. I want to say it's somewhere like in the Middle East or Greece or somewhere between Thanos' group, which is Proxima Midnight and Corvus Glaive and all those people from the Infinity storyline, are fighting this other group of completely made-up heroes that they introduce like in the back text pages. And they have this big blow-up fight, but then all of a sudden, like, time is up and they can't fight anymore, so they kind of step back and wait. It ends with the Thanos group going to America and blowing up Avengers Mansion, where everybody was. So it's like, it had a very weird Contest of Champions vibe to it, that these two groups were suddenly fighting. And then all of a sudden the Avengers went and fought them, and then they showed up. So it was an odd book. It was just kind of weird to read it, because you're not sure who these characters are, you're not sure exactly what's going on. So next I read Phoenix Resurrection 2 and 3. Basically there's this girl living in the middle of, gosh, I want to say New Mexico. And she just works at a diner, and this is number one starts, and then she has these weird like dreams. This one starts with a customer being there, talking to her, who knows her name. She's like, oh, how do you know my name? And it's, of course, she has a name tag. But it's Magneto. But then all of a sudden he vanishes, and then he's back. And it was like, I don't know if it was a projection. Something has happened to all the psychics, and apparently this happened in an issue of Jean Grey, where all the X-Men psychic people are down for the count, and they use Cable to use Cerebro to try to find out what's going on and where this mutant thing is going on, but he ends up short-circuiting Cerebro. Then they locate Emma Frost, and she basically tells them where to find her, because not that she knows from her abilities or anything, but when she was having sex with Cyclops, sometimes his mind would wander back to Jean, and he would always think of this one town in New Mexico, so she must be there. So then the X-Men go out there, and there's this like big bubble over this city, or this area of New Mexico, and that's where she must be. So, and that was how issue 3 ended. So just like a lot, it's like, I don't know if she has always been, you know, after her death she became this person and has suppressed all her memories or what, but it was just a little bit weird where everything isn't what it seems to be. Hmm. Ice Cream Man, another one where I had fun describing it as weird, and everybody that read it agreed with me that it was weird. It starts off where the Ice Cream Man is giving, you know, selling ice cream, and this one little kid comes up, and the Ice Cream Man says, well, where are your parents? With this kind of creepy look on his eye, and the kid said, they're not there or whatever. And then so he walks back to the house, and where he comes in and he talks to his like friendly pet spider, who apparently is this very, very deadly spider, and it goes on to little things that happen when this thing bites somebody. And you walk in and there's parents who are dead at the kitchen counter in this, you know, like horribly painful frozen thing, and the kid's just kind of like, hey, you know, whatever, I guess you guys aren't hungry, and goes on. And then all of a sudden you go to the police station where this lady has shown up, and she pulls this cat skeleton out of her bag. And, you know, she's like, there's this monster, and it came out of the woods behind my house, and it did this. And they're like, what the heck? You know, who carries around a cat skeleton in their bag? Also, it was still a fully formed skeleton, which I don't know if skeletons really stay together when they're just bones. But, and then later on, it just kind of turns out that, so the kid's in the backyard, and all of a sudden, and she described this like werewolf type creature that did this to her cat. And they're like, yeah, sure, lady. So later on, the kid is in the backyard, and the werewolf creature attacks him, and his pet spider bites it, and it doesn't kill him, but he reverts back to his human form of the Ice Cream Man. And then later on, it's him in the ice cream truck driving off, and he turns to face the camera, or you, and he's got this really creepy, like, really toothy, or, you know, fangy, you know, pointy teeth smile and stuff. So I have no idea where this is going. It was really weird. I thought from the description it was going to be like an anthology book,
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was all really this one. I mean, it was a couple stories, but it was all the same characters and stuff. So I don't know if the next one is going to be like different characters, but it was kind of really just weird. Barbarella 2. I really like this book. Dynamite is doing some books I'm really enjoying that I don't want to say I shouldn't, but they're not what I expect. Like, Betty Page. It was funny, because this is why I really enjoy doing these. So I posted, you know, what's coming, and I included the Betty Page, because I've really been enjoying that book. And the author responded to my tweet, because I include the little line, this book has been really fun, and he responded back, yes, I think so too, and two issues to go. So that was neat. But Barbarella, just a really interesting little outer space type thing. In this one, they manage to escape the bad guys, and it turns out Barbarella is somewhat like superpowered because she's able to grab a hold of this little bird type thing, and they were able to fly away after their plane was exploded. But apparently the cowl on this metal bird thing gets really, really hot, but Barbarella had no trouble hanging on to it. So then eventually they escape. They get to this place on this planet where the other girls, like, rebel friends are, and she's supposed to meet him, and it turns out it's only this one guy, and that's all that's left of the rebellion, but their plan is to do this one thing to set... Barbarella got the impression they were trying to stop this bomb, and same with the other person, but it turns out she actually, this other person, I forget her name, and I apologize for that, she's got a weird name too, like Jury or something like that, but had something like implanted in her, which was the last piece of this bomb that's actually going to blow up the world that they're on. And Barbarella's like, what? And then it ends with them shooting Barbarella because she's not supposed to be there. She's, you know, yeah, not supposed to be there.
Man.
But it was really good. Just really a neat story. I really greatly enjoyed it. And I realized it's written by Mike Carey, who's done tons of books. So that was neat. Strangers in Paradise, 25, but actually 25th anniversary, number one. Good, but odd, only because I'm coming to it not knowing the characters, which is partially my fault. They didn't do a great job of introducing everybody. But a very interesting story where it starts off with this guy getting his cell phone stolen, and it turns out he's married to this one woman, and he's talking to her on the phone, and he's telling the story, and then the wife's like, well, what did the woman look like? And he gives a description, and all of a sudden she just loses it, drops the phone, goes up into the bedroom, kicks out the wall, grabs like a getaway bag, and just leaves. And soon Kachu, who's one of the main characters from Strangers in Paradise, shows up looking for her. She was one of the ones that stole the phone, and it turns out there's this huge, big government conspiracy about something getting blown up. Some big, like, nuclear collider thing that somebody was trying to blow up, and they stopped it. It still caused a big explosion, but it didn't blow up the world. And she was one of the people or a witness or something, and they're looking for her. So it was a little bit confusing, but it was kind of interesting. Well, I'll come back to see if I can figure out more, but I know it has this real big following for Strangers in Paradise. I never read it.
I never read any
of it. So I'm assuming that this is just kind of following up events that happened in that. But it was good. I enjoyed it, but I was a little bit lost. Go West is a new one from Alterna. These are the ones doing the $1.50 newsprint books. I have not, I only read the one of these before, but I decided to give this one a shot. Basically, it's set in the future, but it's kind of a standard, like, Western revenge tale where this guy was a killer, a hired killer, and then he met a girl and settled down with her and the kids and tried to get away from his past life. And then one day when he was out, somebody came and killed his wife and kids. So now he's seeking revenge on them. So pretty, you know, it's, we know the story. Yeah, we know the story. But it was good. It was fine. You know, $1.50, it was neat. The art at some points was a little sketchy. The newsprint made it a little unclear in some scenes. But it was never hard to read or anything. Just some things seemed a little blurrier than others. But that's, you know, that's okay. And then we had The Further Adventures of Nick Wilson, which is a story of Nick Wilson, who was Earth's only superhero, and then he lost his powers one day. And he was flying over a field in Pennsylvania and lost his powers and landed in a hay bale. And he's like, yeah, that would have been nice. Sadly, it was horse manure that broke my fall. But he was actually doing a kid's birthday party, dressed up in his old costume as like a, you know, an impersonator for this kid's birthday party and stuff, and he's having a hard time making ends meet. Turns out he used to have a girl that he had fallen in love with, but it turns out he kind of became too famous and blew her off and ruined the relationship. And then it turns out she got married. They went out to lunch and were just kind of reminiscing over past things, and he still, you can tell, really has a thing for
smitten.
Smitten. But, like, her life didn't go well. She married another guy, and it fell apart and stuff. And then it just kind of ends, which was interesting, where it looks like it's the son of an old nemesis has shown up and presents him with, you know, like, a briefcase or something, or some hands him a folder and says, you know, your presence is demanded in front of his dad. So that's how it ended. And then there's a shot of, like, the bad guy with, like, a sword at his neck, like an old action shot type thing. So, yeah, just kind of interesting. Just basically a superhero who no longer has powers. So,
that kind of like Hook?
Hook?
Yeah. Or Peter Pan wasn't Peter Pan anymore. And
oh, yeah, because he didn't believe.
Yeah, and he had to learn how to believe again, thanks to Rufio.
Yeah, got a fly, okay, got a fight, got a crow.
So the signing is on for next week. So I will get promoting that. I dropped the ball. I'm a ball dropper, which is, makes me mad because I am working on trying to be more.
You anyway.
I'm trying to, better than a ball grabber, I'm trying to be more on top of things. But I think it's
not
just.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's in my nature not to be on top of things. So it's something at. Oh, you just leave me be. But at my advanced age, I need to do more to be on top of things.
There's pills for that.
There are pills.
There's no shame in being in the bottom.
So, hang on, let me respond back real quick. No, not to you.
He's like, I just need to stop talking because leave me alone.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you
to be fair, when the first ball comment came out, we didn't say anything. We looked at each other, we smiled, we didn't say anything.
Say it. That's right.
It was all him.
Okay. So that's all I have. But I am proud of myself. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 books.
That's a lot of books.
And I'm already 4 books into next week. So.
Nice. So speaking of next week,
I did good. I mean, it's weird. I printed this off the new computer for the first time. And it's just the invoice looks. It's a different font. It looks different. Turned me off. You probably didn't notice that, but I did. Okay.
No.
Weird week. It's a fifth Wednesday. So it's definitely very light on DC product. And light on a lot of books. What?
Some annuals.
Oh, there's a lot of good stuff here, but there's also just a ton of next issue stuff. So not a lot of stuff to highlight. Lots of books. Let me see. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, it's a solid week. 5 pages, which is a solid. I think this week was only 4. So a solid week of books, but just not a ton of stuff for me to spotlight. Not intentionally. Not a bad thing. But we have the big one. We'll start off with probably the biggest book. Dark Knight's Metal. He is. Number 5 is coming out next week. Now, one weird thing, I'm not getting the Lee variant. That's shipping the next week, so.
What?
If you're waiting for the Jim Lee variant, I apologize. It is not my fault. We also had, then, like you mentioned, some annuals. We have the Deathstroke Annual, and we have the Detective Comics Annual, and the Flash Annual are all shipping next week. Let's see, Hungry Ghosts, number 1. Now, this is the first one from Karen Berger's Berger Books at Dark Horse. This is the Anthony Bourdain book. He's only previously done graphic novels. He did Get Hero.
Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, the chef, the celebrity chef, yes. He did a couple for Vertigo called Get Hero about a sushi chef. This one is
like a crime sushi book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was. It really was. About
it was well received. It sounds
About a sushi chef.
Yeah.
But like it was illegal or something, so he was like, you know, he had to do it illegally, you know, the mob was after him or something like that. But this one's Hungry Ghosts, which is based on some, like, Japanese folk tales stuff. So this should be, yeah, interesting. Jean Grey, number 11, is the last issue, and it's supposed to tie directly into the, it's going to deal with the Phoenix Resurrection storyline. And sadly, I need to order more because I realized I ordered not enough. Oh, no, maybe I did with the variants. We might be okay. JLA Doom Patrol Special. This is the first of the Milk Wars, is shipping next week. So look into that. It's a kind of a crossover between DC and Young Animal. So if you're interested, please let me know. I have a bunch coming in, but I really didn't know how to order these because I wasn't going to order just the League number. So I ordered it more along the Doom Patrol number. So if you want to get these, if you want to get all of these, let me know. It's really easy. It's just me pushing a button in the computer, and I can definitely sign you up for all of them. Nice and easy. So, lots of kids books next week, which I like. You know, the young reader stuff.
Hook them while they're young.
Dude, but like, yeah, like, it was funny because I think Adam just asked me if I was getting any more. And I'm like, it's not a case of me not ordering them. It's just a case of them shipping whenever they do. But yeah, like there's a new Superhero Girls graphic novel next week, which is fun because I normally don't order 10 copies of graphic novels. But
10 copies that one?
Yeah, Superhero Girls Date with Disaster.
Just because you have pre-orders really well. For it? Or?
Yeah, okay. It just it has a real strong order history.
It seems like that initiative has done really well for...
Yeah. Yeah, they just announced one of the free comic book day books is going to be another one of those.
It's an issue from this trade.
Oh, okay.
So if people like the issue, they could buy the trade the same day.
There you go. Yeah, we've got a bunch of Justice League young reader books. It was just fun, you know, Black Adam and the Eternity War, Gorilla Grodd and the Primate Protocol. So let's see, what else have we got coming? I'm just looking for any more stuff like that. But Motherland's number one. This is a new one. This is a Vertigo book. A new Vertigo book. I forget who's doing it. Sorry. Mystic U number 2. It seems like a while, but I very much enjoyed number 1.
It has been a while.
Yeah, I don't know why it's been so long for that. Phoenix Resurrection number 5.
Maybe it's an every other month book.
Could be, because it is an oversized one. New previews is next week. By the way, the previews order is due Thursday. Anything you want, let me know. If you have the app, get your orders in on the app, which is actually kind of interesting. Well, not huge, but I'm going to have to monitor that because I'm already working on the order. Quantum and Woody number 2 next week, so you can get your ultra foil cover. I wonder if they're still using that old stuff. That'd be kind of cool. Are they? That's cool.
It's left over from the 90s.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's kind of fun. Silencer number 1. This is the next one from the DC Age of Heroes. I already had to up my order because I realized I did not order nearly enough. Star Wars Adventures Forces of Destiny Rose and Page is next week. Also, Star Wars Last Jedi DJ. So if the Benicio del Toro character, going to flesh out his story a little bit more in here. Also, Pat, I know you're excited about this one, but Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters number 1 is next week. And that's it as far as stuff I'm kind of highlighting.
He's no Big Jim in the Action Force, but
didn't you say before the Swamp Thing annuals?
Is pushed actually to February.
Oh, yeah, what?
I know, that would have been a perfect one for next week, because I have, I think, 50-some copies coming to that. So, but sadly, that one got pushed to February. So I apologize for that. It's not my fault. But yeah, we will be doing the Ron Friends signing for what's called Blue Baron. So please come out. I'm going to try to have him here later in the day. My goal is like 4 to 7, if that works for him, because that's really kind of my busiest time of the day on Wednesday.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense for him to be here at 10 o'clock in the morning.
No, but, you know, it's just that's my sweet spot. Like, we were also debating Saturday, but Saturdays are so hit and miss and so dependent on weather, where I think Wednesday... Weather doesn't super matter. People are coming after work to get their stuff. So it's good that he confirmed that with me. So I have the books coming, and we will do that. So we'll have that. Just a nice little $3.99 book. I'll get a little info up about the book on website and about the signing and everything. So that's my job. I will attack that either tonight or in the morning. Did I talk about me doing the daily little promo things?
Yes, you did.
Okay. So keep an eye out for that, the little things I'm doing. I'm just trying to keep it fun. Tomorrow's going to be Throwback Thursday. Friday is going to be Bring a Friend Friday. So I'm just trying to make things different. Just have a little fun. Keep it fun. Keep it light.
Doesn't have to be a new person. It's just
I'd prefer if it was a new person, because that was my initial goal, if you brought somebody who hadn't been to the store before. But that I realized that, you know, I have no way of policing that. Or, but I mean, that's my goal. Please bring somebody who might not have been here, maybe that you've
talked. Are the deals cumulative? So if you bring, like, four people that are
here before? Sure, I would do that. I would absolutely do that.
But they have to buy something.
Then you might want to...
Not necessarily.
You might want to skip this Friday, then, with it being the book club. I brought in five people.
I'm going to go find some hobos and bring them in.
Pat would... If anybody was going to bring hobos, it would be Pat.
Oh, yeah.
So you're gonna,
Pat knows hoes and bows.
You're gonna run around. Yeah. You're gonna look for Mike and bring him in. Okay.
Oh, that's messed up.
But
what kind of hoes are you talking about?
He's more the bow. I forgot. Book club is Friday. I do have the books in. I have more coming tomorrow.
Copperhead.
It's gotten good response so far. And I've picked the book for next month, and I already have the books coming in.
Shirtless Bear Fighter.
It is correct. We are doing Shirtless Bear Fighter for February.
Bear Punch.
Bear Punch. Double Bear Punch.
Oh, you son of a bitch. I won't be here.
Well, wait a minute. There's a caveat. The February book club is actually going to be in March, because I won't be here either. That's
March,
Comics Pro.
March what?
First Friday in March.
That's still be here.
Well, I can't help that. If you're going to be gone for 2 weeks, what do you want from me?
Hmm? Where are you going? Florida.
Oh,
well, okay. I won't be back until...
Oh, is it your Disney trip?
Yeah.
I can't help these things.
Yeah, I won't be back
But because I realized when I was looking that I will not be here. Now, I'll talk with the group, and if they still want to do it the last one on Friday, I don't have to be here. But I will not be here that last Friday, because that's the Comics Pro meeting. So I was going to switch...
Yeah, because the last... Friday is the
23rd. I was planning on switching it to the 2nd only because I can't be here, but if it's a problem for others, I'll keep it the 23rd. I don't care. I just figured it would be better for me to be here than not be here.
You can Skype in.
Yeah. I was going to come dressed as Shirtless Bear Fighter, which is not dressed at all. Grow out my beard and bring some flapjacks.
Better get a merkin.
So, I think that's pretty much it. That's about all I got to talk about. And that's all I have to say about that. So, next week. Oh, I went through next week. I'm sorry, I'm losing it.
Cool, Forrest. Wrap it up, Josh.
No. So, as always, you can find me at the store. The website is pittsburghcomics.com. We're working. Apparently, we have a www issue that I got to resolve.
So don't put in
I lost my W's. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. And keep an eye on all this stuff, because I'm going to be trying to get a lot more content, a lot of more little things out there. Going through price and stuff, found a book that Spencer purchased today. He was very excited. A first appearance of Nightwing, signed by George Perez. So that's cool. Yeah, so I'm just trying to get a lot more stuff priced and out, and keep your eyes open. If there's anything you're looking for, want lists, always appreciate it. I'll certainly look for whatever you're looking for. I am selling out of a lot of stuff. I'm working on adjusting my numbers. I don't know how I'm screwing these up so bad.
I wouldn't call it screwing up.
I think sales are going up. I'm getting more people reading some books. Hal Jordan went way low and now is going back up. Justice League of America... A lot of books are getting a lot more interest, and I've just been, I don't want to say slow to act on it, but I'm putting the orders in 3 weeks ahead of time, and it's going up. But
better to sell out than have too much stuff left over.
Very true.
He just zoned out.
No, I was answering a text from Tim. He asked if he could have the milk carton when we're done with the promo. And I
said, that required an immediate response.
No, but I responded. Forget. I'm trying. Yeah, it's true. I'm old. I forget things.
He forgot that he already went over the books for next.
I did. I'm just out of sorts. It was a long day with their computer problems right off the bat. Not having the list to do the polls by was just really a lot more work today than so. But yes, so I think we've covered everything. Thanks for listening, Pat.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See you.